Here we are again. Isn't that nice? By God's love and mercy, here we are again. And one day we're going to meet for the last time. We will not meet here, we're going to meet up there. Isn't that a beautiful prospect? When you consider the world and the disturbances in the world and the problems, the disagreements among nations, even in this nation, one day we're going to be away from this. We're going home. Our subject tonight, the believer as a pilgrim and a stranger, as a foreigner. Book of Leviticus chapter 25. Book of Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever. The land is mine. Ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Psalm 39, verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace and my tears. I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner with thee, as were all my fathers. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. We don't speak of strangers and pilgrims today. We speak of foreigners. We are foreigners. Our home is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just passing through here. Now, how do you recognize a foreigner? Or you say by his language, yes. That will follow another time. But when you go to Ellis Island in New York, and you see these visitors, foreigners, strangers, pilgrims coming off the boat, you can't talk to them. But you can tell by their clothing that they are visitors, that they are foreigners. Several weeks ago, on a Saturday, a lady came to us to take care of my wife. Before I said anything to her, I saw her dress. I said, well, where did she come from? I'd never seen that combination of colors and designs. I learned later that she was from Africa. Later that day, a friend of the family visited us. She too was from Africa. Before I could introduce her to the lady that came first, she went over and said, I'm glad to see you. You're from Ghana. How'd she know she was from Africa? From Ghana. Buy her clothes. And that is what we want to talk about this evening. The recognizing of our strangership, of our citizenship, by our clothing. Zechariah chapter 3. The importance of clothing in identifying the believer. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand. Verse 3. Now Joshua, remember he was high priest, was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Verse 4. He answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments. They're not fit for the high priest. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with change of raiment, with new clothes, with fitting clothes, clothing to fit your calling. Book of Matthew. As I had occasion to say on Sunday, my habit is to turn to many scriptures. But that's the only way I know to learn the Bible. As a matter of fact, that's what the Bereans did. They compared scripture with scripture to see what was what. Book of Matthew chapter 22. Verse 8. Thus saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad, and the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He said to him, friend, how comest thou in hither not wearing a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bring him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was incorrectly dressed for the occasion. And we as pilgrims and strangers, what is our correct dressing? What clothes should we wear? And I have divided our clothing into two parts. Undergarments. Our undergarments. Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. The undergarments of believers as pilgrims and strangers. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me, notice please, with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Our basic garments then are salvation and righteousness. Salvation. Jonah 2 and 9, don't turn to it. Salvation is of the Lord. Our basic garment is given us by the Lord. Acts 4 and 12. Salvation is our basic garment, and it's of the Lord. It's divine. Neither is there salvation in any other. For as there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Our basic undergarment, salvation. But we notice in Isaiah chapter 61, not only salvation, but a garment of righteousness. Isaiah 64 and 6. Isaiah 64 verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness as filthy rags. What undergarment of righteousness are we going to wear then? Where does it come from? Our righteousness as filthy rags. Romans 3, verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21. The righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, that's the source of our righteousness. Chapter 9. Verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? Righteousness is of faith. Salvation is of God. Our righteousness is of God. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may make Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our basic garments, therefore, salvation, which is of the Lord, righteousness, which is of the Lord. Now let us look at our outer clothing. We have the basics. Now we need our outer garments. Colossians chapter 3. We are pilgrims and strangers. And we wear the clothing of pilgrims and strangers. Basic garments, salvation, and righteousness, all given by God himself. Now our outer garments. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore. Now when you get home, check up that word, put on. It means put on as you put on clothes. Put on apparel. Dress yourself as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies. Compassion. Kindness. Meekness. Being humble. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the best example that we can think of being humble. Philippians chapter 2, please. Humble. Philippians chapter 2. Well-known verse. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. What an example of humility. Creator of heaven and earth. Look how low he came. He was the light. Yet, at Calvary, he hung in darkness. That's humility. He was the light, yet he poured out his light on the cross of Calvary. He was the Son of God, and yet he died the death of a felon. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he became the Lamb of God. Do you see what I'm getting at? He humbled himself. And I'll say this, beloved. Some of the proudest men I've ever met in this world, who do you think they are? Physicians. In fact, I know of one physician, and when he would come in, his staff would say, "Here comes God." And I thought of that man in Acts, Herod. And he accepted it. Pride, the pride of men. Our Lord Jesus Christ was God Almighty, but he was crucified in weakness. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Then we read further in Colossians. We ought to be meek. We ought to be clothed with meekness. You remember Moses, the meekest man of his day. Forbearing one another. And whenever I read that word forbearing, I think of a brother years ago in New York. Two couples in a meeting that he knew of, had been married a long time. And someone asked, "What is the secret of your long marriage?" And he said, "There are two bears in our house. Bear and forbear." That is to characterize us. Forgiving one another. Love. We are to love one another. Now we go on. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. As pilgrims and strangers, we ought to be examples. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believers. We ought to be examples of the believers. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11, please. Examples. Acts chapter 11. This thought has always fascinated me. We ought to be examples. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. When he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now notice, the disciples were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. That's part of their outer garment. People looked at them and said, they belong to Christ. What do they say about, I wonder what my neighbor thinks about me. I wonder what kind of example I am to my neighbor. How about those of you in school? What do they say about you? Those of you at work, what do they say about you? Are you an example? Do they say you are a Christian? I remember years ago in Detroit, Brother Ken Hampton and his wife took Vivian and me out to eat. Very nice place. And the lady that waited on us, she was dressed like all the other waitresses. No difference in their outward appearance. But then I said to Brother Ken, you know, there's something about this lady that's different. I don't know what it is, but she's just different. And he said, well, I don't know her. So at the end of the meal, I said, young lady, I want to ask you a personal question. Do you mind? She said, no. What church do you go to? She named an assembly, and Ken said, that's one of the assemblies. I said, are you in fellowship there? Yes. I could tell it just by the way she served. And they should be able to tell that we are strangers and pilgrims from heaven by the way we behave, by our daily behavior and action. I think of another case that involves me, and I tell it to you not by because I want to be an example, not out of a sense of pride, but a patient came to me, an elderly lady. I had never seen her before, and she had never seen me. Came to the office. I had no text on the wall, no tracts on the table, no Bible. They just sat in the living room, in the sitting room. Came in. You know, they call it history, all those foolish questions that doctors ask, you know. You have a pain in your right thumb, he's asking about the big toe on your left foot. All those questions that doctors ask. Asked her all the questions, examined her, made my recommendation, and as she was going out the door, she said to me, doctor, I want to ask you something. I said, what is it? Are you a Christian? I said, yes. And I speak not in pride. She said, I thought so. One of the greatest and happiest moments I had in all medical practice. In a mere medical examination, she could tell that I was a believer. Oh. I asked again, beloved, what do your neighbors say about you? What do they think about you? What do your schoolmates think about you? What do your workmates think of you? They should be able to tell us, we should be an example. And how else do you tell a foreigner? You tell a foreigner by his facial expression. Am I right? Right. Do you know they should be able to tell us by our facial expression? You say, well, how's that to be? We all look different. That's right. But read with me Exodus chapter 34. They should be able to tell that we are strangers and pilgrims by our facial expression. Exodus, did I say? Yes. Chapter 34. Verse 27. The Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. Now note, he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Isn't that precious? How much time do we spend with the Lord? He was in the Lord's presence 40 days and 40 nights. That must have been wonderful. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. It came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shined while he talked with him. When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shined. They were afraid to come nigh to him. Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh. He gave them a commandment, all that the Lord had spoken with him, until Moses had done speaking with them. When Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spoke to the children of Israel that which he was commanded. The children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of his face shone. Moses put the veil upon his face again and went in to speak with him. His face shone. In the divine presence, and while we look different one from the other, you know our faces should shine. 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 3. If we spend time in the presence of the Lord, it is amazing how our face will shine. Verse 18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. That's how we shine like the Lord. And in spite of the fact that our faces differ, there are times I can look at a believer and see the glory of the Lord in his face. Haven't you found that true? As pilgrims and strangers, we are to reflect the beauty and the facial expression of the Lord. The story is told of a certain man in the far east. There was a statue there, and he would come every day and look at the statue, sometimes for an hour, sometimes for 2 hours. And what do you think happened? After a number of years, you couldn't tell the statue from the man. That's the way it is with us. In his presence, we take on his likeness and shine before us. As pilgrims and strangers, we should give a facial expression reflecting the glory of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy of your calling. Our bearing, our posture, worthy of our calling. Again, everything I tell you is years ago. And this was years ago. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, going to the office, a young girl, 10 or 12 years old, grasped me by the arm, come and see my mother, my mother's sick. I said, well, I don't have anything to work with, I'll have to go to the office and get my bag. I went to the office, got the bag, she was holding my arm all the time. Took me to her mother, and thanked the Lord that the problem was easy. But as I was leaving, just passing through the living room, I saw the telephone on. And there was a lady speaking on the television. And I said to myself, I don't know who she is, but she's somebody. The way she spoke and the way she carried herself, she said she's somebody. 10 o'clock that evening, I turned on to the evening news. 10 o'clock, that's night news. And what do you think I heard? At 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Queen of England addressed the Congress of the United States. The lady I saw was the Queen of England. I didn't know who she was, but I knew she was somebody. She walked worthy of her calling. We ought to walk worthy of our calling. Walk in love. Walk without hypocrisy. Walk faithfully. Walk as children of the Lord. I think I'm finished. We've had enough, haven't we? Pilgrims and strangers, we should reflect the beauty of the Lord. At another time, we'll talk about the speech, what our speech should be like. You know people from different lands, they have different accents. My parents were from the Caribbean islands. And each island, they has a different accent. And I became so expert, as soon as they opened their mouth, I could tell what island they were from. We'll take that up next time. What our speech should be like. 535, please. I don't remember hearing this, sing this at all, but it's an easy tune. Easy to catch on. Easy to learn. 535. Well, yes, Jesus bids us shine. With a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine.
635.
We used to sing this in Sunday school. So we know it.